seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the general epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 25. The general epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The general epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's a wonderful mercy that there is given by the Lord this gracious and blessed perfect law of liberty, and it's for sinners. And dear James knew what it was to sweetly experience that liberty, both in his own soul and to experience it in the Church of God. But I want us help to just look a little further into this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, what is there to be found in this law of liberty? Well, firstly, there's food for hungry souls. See, we need food naturally, don't we? The body needs it for nourishment. But in the soul of the child of God, they cannot feed on the husk of the word. That is just the letter of it. They need true spiritual food. And in this blessed law of liberty, there is food for hungry sinners. There's a blessed feeding upon the word of God. Jeremiah said, didn't he, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And Moses told the children of Israel that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. But too, in this perfect law of liberty, there is comfort for sorrowing sinners. And what a mercy it is, the Lord has promised to comfort those that are sorrowful. We think of the dear disciples when he said to them, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And oh, what comfort there is in God's holy word and in a precious Jesus for sinners. And further, he said to them, didn't he, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And you know, they verily felt, didn't they, when the Saviour said he was going to leave them, that all the comfort would be gone. But what did he promise them? That he would send the Holy Spirit to them, the divine comforter, to comfort their hearts. And oh, how they sweetly experienced it. And you know, really, it is one of the offices of God's servants to be comforters to his people. The Lord made Isaiah a blessed comforter to the people of his day, didn't he, the Church of God? And the Lord gave him clear commission in this. He said, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she shall receive from the Lord's hand double for all her sin. And oh, what a comfort that was to the sorrowing church in his day. But then too, in this perfect law of liberty, there is heavenly guidance. You know, there's no guide like the Lord. Well could the psalmist pray, guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And do we not need guiding in the truth as it is in Jesus? Do we not need guiding in the steps of providence, the steps of grace? You know, the dear psalmist prayed on so many occasions the Lord would guide him and lead him. And one feels today, you know, there's no guide like the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is we have that heavenly guide to guide the child of God right the way through their life and guide them home to glory. And he will. And, but then too, in the precious, perfect law of liberty, there is heavenly teaching. You know, the apostle said on one occasion, he needeth not that any man should teach them. You know, there's no teacher like the Holy Spirit. That Jesus said to the disciples before he went to Calvary, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And oh, you think how we need continually teaching them. How many times this poor sinner has to say, Lord, teach me my sinnership. You know, we won't ever know what poor sinners we are unless we're taught by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that taught the publican how poor and vile and helpless he was. And when the Holy Spirit teaches us our sinnership, our vileness, the wickedness of our heart, we know what it is to feel it. And no man can teach us it. He needeth not that any man should teach them. You know, the teaching we need continually, where one feels it personally, is that blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit. And none teaches like him, the Word of God tells us. But then we need to be taught where to look. Well, here we are instructed, as we looked at this morning, to look. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us where to look, isn't it? When we're in trouble, when we're in distress, when we're in affliction, when we're at the ends of the earth, oh, to be taught to look heavenwards. You know, the Lord didn't bring Jonah into that fish's belly by chance. But where did the Lord bring him? In that fish's belly, in the depths of the sea. Yet I will look again. And the Lord taught him that was the only place to look, toward thy holy temple. And that blessed holy temple is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. And how the Lord taught him to look up. Is he teaching you to look up? To look to heaven. I love that word in the prophecy of Isaiah where the Holy Spirit beautifully sets forth this. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. Look unto me. The apostle took it up beautifully in Hebrews, didn't he? After he'd given that blessed catalogue of all that had gone before. And in chapter 12 he speaks of this, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. You know, it's one of the best places we can ever be brought, really, when we're looking unto him. And then you think of that beautiful word often quoted in Proverbs. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee. The trouble is we don't, do we? We're looking at this, we're looking at that, we look at this trouble, we look at that affliction, and we're sinking, when our eyes should look right on. Your late beloved pastor said once in preaching from that word, he said, what does it mean? He said it means a long view, looking right on to heaven, you see, to Canaan's happy shore. You know, it's a wonderful lesson the children of Israel, in their case, they had to prove that, and solemnly they fell short, and so do we. You see, when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, what did he do? He set before them Canaan, Canaan's happy land. And they were to keep their eyes on that land. But what did they do? Instead of that, they were looking to themselves, they were looking at the enemies, they were looking at the troubles, they were looking at the roughness of the way, and their eyes should have been looking right on. Unbelief crept in, and so it does with us, doesn't it? So he says here, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and let us just pause a moment here, because you know, as we're given that eye of faith to look into that perfect law of liberty, we're seeing it. Everything that we need is all found in a precious Jesus. Did he not say, and I thought of it as you were singing just now, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You say, ye shall know the truth. Look at it in two ways. Firstly, concerning the Lord Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that truth, knowing the truth, shall make you free. Liberty. And then secondly, in the holy words of truth, God's holy word. The word is truth. Oh, it is. Why? Because it came from the lips of the Lord. And looking into it, there's liberty, as we tried to look at this morning. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But then we could spend the whole discourse really on what is in the perfect law of liberty. Because there are many things I've named, just a few. But what concerns us here as we look into this text, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and he didn't just leave it there, did he? The Holy Spirit has wisely left on record what follows. And continueth therein. You know, many make a start in religion, but never continue. This word is a very searching word, really. And continueth therein. What did Jesus say concerning his dear disciples just before he went up to Calvary? He said to them this beautiful word, "Ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations." Ye are they that have continued with me. Oh, may it be said concerning each of us, ye are they that have continued with me. Or as our text says, not only are we looking into that perfect law of liberty, but continuing therein. Not just when we think we will, or just when occasions arise we look into the perfect word of God, or to the dear Redeemer, but continually to be looking. You know, this is one of the most vital things in religion, the continuing. Jesus said, didn't he, to the disciples, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." He didn't promise them an easy path, did he? But he said this, "But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Now there's that solemn thought and implication there, isn't there? There will be those that don't. May we ever be exercised to be amongst those that continue. Continue looking to the Lord Jesus. Continually seeking him. Continually begging for mercy. Pleading for pardon. What does it mean, really? Putting it simply, and continueth therein, it means not wavering or deviating. You know, many today in this solemn day, they deviate from the truth. I remember Mr. Clement Wood speaking of the dangers of the child of God through life's journey. And he said, you know, in his travels around the country, he said, you know, "I've been on many roads." And he said, "Some of the most dangerous spots in the roads are where there's a deviation. Many have been ushered into eternity. The roads gradually deviates. And then accident, or as man would say, accident, but disaster comes." And think about it spiritually. May we not deviate from the truth. You see, the devil's so crafty, and we see it in so many places, especially where lightness is creeping in, or the world is creeping in. It's like a thin end of a wedge. You know, a wedge has a narrow point, and then it grows out further. And when that is hammered into wood. He gradually splits it open. Well, look at it spiritually. You see, the devil's so crafty, you use a small thing, and then it gets to something more, and something more, and something more. And before you know where you are, the world is in and the devil's in. It's very solemn, that is. Oh, may we continue in the old paths, in the narrow way, ever looking to the dear Redeemer and not deviate from the truth. We read, didn't we, of him that wavereth. And you see, many waver today. They don't continue. Oh, may we ever be amongst those that it says here, and continueth therein. You may have wondered why we read in the Epistle to the Galatians, and it seemed to so rest upon me when this text came, in this continuing, standing fast. And if in that first chapter we read, in chapter 5, it begins with these words. And the apostle knew what it was, because in Galatia there was a great need to stand fast. And he says this, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast. We were thinking and talking the other day of many that were in the 1500s burned at the stake, and many beaten, and even the children that would not bow to popery. And you know, when you think back how they needed so much grace to stand with the furnace and fires before them. And here the apostle says, stand fast. In other words, as our text says, and continueth therein, not in any way to waver, but to stand fast. And what was there to flow from it? Well, exactly what's in our text. You see, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, you see, they were to continue in that liberty God had given them by standing fast. And not in the bondage they've been in, but to stand fast. Now, I don't know why I name that, but you know, in this dark and solemn day, and may you, dear young ones at school, college, university, stand fast by the holy word of God. Don't deviate from it in any way. People have said to me of late, oh, but it doesn't matter, we can have a new version of the King James Bible. But you know, when you really look closely into it, it's a solemn deviation. Oh, it is. And if we don't stand, where would it bring us? Well, the word of God makes it absolutely clear, into bondage. You see, that when the Lord is grieved, he will bring his dear people into bondage and into distress of soul. So he says here, the dear apostle James, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, Just one further point on this. It's a wonderful thing, you know, that the Holy Spirit has recorded concerning the day of Pentecost. About those, you know, there were those 3,000 added to the church on that day. And what do we read concerning them? And you know, this is a very vital point. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now you know, that's a wonderful record concerning them, isn't it? We don't read that they went back or they backslid. We don't read that they wandered from the truth or deviated. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, there are many today that waver in doctrine. And they won't accept this doctrine or that doctrine. But you see, we don't read that concerning those on the day of Pentecost. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread. You can look at that in breaking of bread in two ways, really. We know it meant the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread. But it meant, too, sitting under the preaching of the gospel. When the servants of God are used to break the bread of the word of God to the people. And you know, this is where the ministry should be simple, really. It's like one of the old saints said to me years ago. She said, you know, I like the word broken up into small pieces so I can understand it. And you know, I thought about that. It's a wonderful thing. It's like a little child has to have small pieces, you see, as it's fed. And think about it spiritually. You know, the simplicity of the gospel. You look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus, how simple it was. And yet how deep and how profound. Even to his enemies, he silenced them with simple things. And continueth therein, breaking of bread, and then in prayers, continue in prayer. What do we read? Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Well, poor soul, there may be one here, sir, and the devil's saying to you, oh, well, you want to give up praying for this, you want to give up praying for that. The Lord has been silent all these years, or maybe months, he'll never answer in them. But may this be a word in season to you. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread. And in prayers. Don't give it up. Pray if thou canst or canst not speak. Prayer's a weapon, you see, for the feeble. Weakest saints can wield it best. And they continued in that, you see. Oh, they did. And he says here, and continueth therein, not outside of it, in. But then he goes further. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. You see, by nature, especially when we get older, we soon begin to get forgetful, don't we? And really, that's what led me to this text. I forgot something the other day. And I say to my shame, I do forget things. And as we get older, we tend to forget, don't we? But here, and the Lord seemed to drop this in as I was thinking about how sad it was, how forgetful we are. Herein, he says, he being not a forgetful hearer. You know, if you're honest, when you go out of the chapel so often you forget what is said, how much do you really remember by the end of the week? And how much do I? Some people say to me sometimes, well, you preach from such and such a text only a week or so ago. And they tell me what it is, and you know I've completely forgot it, and I say that to my shame. We're poor, leaky vessels, really. We're like the colander, a lot goes through, or a sieve, a lot goes through. We forget it, don't we? But here he speaks, he being not a forgetful hearer. Now what we need, and this is what is so vital here, is the Holy Spirit to write the word in our hearts so we don't forget it. It's like I named this morning, those two occasions back in 1963 and then in 1972, and you know, I shall never forget them. But I trust I can say this, they are written in my heart. Have you got anything that you've not forgotten, poor son? How many times do you go out the sanctuary, and I remember a dear old lady saying to me, I have to pray, she said, that the Lord would so apply the word that I won't forget it. She got a few things that she couldn't forget. Why? Because the Lord had written them on the fleshy tables of her heart. So may we lay this to heart today. I don't know why the Lord has given it to me. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. And you know the Lord can apply one line of the hymn and you never forget it, do you? So real. Why don't you forget it? Because it's made life and power to your soul. It's food to you, and you go in the strength of it, maybe for many days. It may be just one text in the whole chapter. As you read it, it's everything to you. It comes right where you are. And you don't forget it. Oh, may there be more times when we don't forget things. They're applied to us by divine power. And this is why we so need the application of the word. My old pastor at Staplehurst used to say, when I was a lad, what we need, beloved friends, is application, application and application. The Lord to so apply it to us, and then we won't forget it. Because it's come from the Lord, you see. It's everything you need. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. And then there's this we're doing what the Lord commands us, you say. How often we forget to do what he commands us. It may be the Lord will say to you, pray always. As the apostle said to the Thessalonians, pray always. And pray without ceasing. How soon we forget it. But oh, may the Lord make us doers of the word. We read, didn't we? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You see, you can hear what the Lord has to say, but do you do it? And do I? Well, let me use one or two illustrations. Firstly, think of the servants at the marriage of Cana in Galilee. There was no wine. What should they do? What did the mother of Christ say to them? She said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now they didn't just say, well, we haven't got any power, we haven't got any wine, what shall we do? What he saith to you, do it. And he told them what to do, didn't he? To get the water pots and to fill them. And they did exactly what he told them. And you look at the profit there was in it. Never had they tasted wine like it. In doing what the Lord commands his dear children to do, they should do it. If he tells you, like he did the children of Israel at the Red Sea, to stand still, then you do it, child of God. If he tells you, like he did to them further on, say unto the children of Israel, they go forward. Young man that I know up the country, he was so exercised concerning the sacred step of baptism just recently, and he went to the house of God, Lord, what shall I do in it all? And the Lord spoke to him through that dear servant of God, say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And you know, as the servant of God quoted, it went right in the heart of that dear young man, and he had to do it. Go forward. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. Beautiful word that is, isn't it? Go on. And you think of them on the day of Pentecost, how they were in such concern about their souls. And what did they say to Peter and the rest of the apostles? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And what was the command? Repent. You may say, well, I've got no power to. You haven't in and of yourself, and nor have I, poor soul. But that's what you long for. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you look how they gladly received what Peter preached. I love that word. It's very sweet to me. Just before I was baptized, the Lord's servant came and he preached from that word, you know. Then they that gladly received his word. Do you know what it is to receive the word? Faith will. It embraces it. Receive the word. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But in conclusion this, and much could be further said, in doing what the Lord commands his dear children, he says, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Are you and am I doing what he commands? And then there's this wonderful blessing to follow it. The smile of heaven, you see. This man, and this is what the Lord has said, not what I've said. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Or the margin tells us in his doing. In it will be the blessing of heaven, you see. What does the apostle say? Be ye as obedient children. There's nothing that joys a father and mother more to see their children obedient. And think about it concerning the Lord. He loves obedient children. What did the Lord say through Moses to the children of Israel? All the commandments which I command thee this day shalt thou observe to do. They got to do what the Lord told them. And in doing what the Lord tells us, you know, the blessing will descend upon it. Oh, it will. His smile, you see. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord smiles upon his people. And what are those seasons? They're seasons of heaven begun below. Oh, they are. Tastes of glory. The hymn writer said, if such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be? And oh, what a blessed exchange to be freed from this veil of tears, this body of sin and death, and to be with Christ in glory forever. But it's tasted and known and felt here in time.